It's been called visionary, brutal, magnetic, a piercing extraction of the soul, a damaged love story, a hallucinatory tale of revenge. It's a feature-length film, yes, but it's also partly a real life and the story of one man's efforts to reconnect with the wider world and with his partner after a criminal conviction and time in jail. That's a brutal transition at the best of times, finding a job with a prison history on your resume and also finding a new kind of normal on the outside, it seems to me. The new Australian film, Hail. Well, it's the semi-fictional story of Daniel P. Jones, and joining me now in the studio is Daniel P. Jones, or Danny, welcome. Great to have you on the show. Just move that mic in front of you a bit, that's great. And we also have Hale's writer and director, it's Emil, isn't it? How do you, Emil, Corten Wilson, fantastic filmmaker. The Life Matters studio is bursting with talent as we speak. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, cheers. Thank you.
And look, Emil, this is the culmination of an intensely personal collaboration with Danny over some years now, 6 or 7 years. Set the scene for how you connected with each other.
Yeah, I come from a documentary background, so I was making a film about a theatre company for ex-prison inmates back in 2004 in Melbourne, and met Danny Jones the day after he was released from prison. He was working with this theatre company called Plan B, and just was instantly struck by his magnetism and his really natural abilities as an actor. It was his first time on stage and his first time acting, and you know, his turn of phrase and his ability to kind of transform his own experiences into just a really compelling story or stories on stage was really good. He was an instant magnet for some kind of film portrait.
A jail cell philosopher, you describe him.
Absolutely, yeah. And Dan's has this amazing series of, you know, he's an autodidact and you know, in between being able to talk about his, you know, very at times kind of brutal upbringing in St Kilda, the streets of St Kilda in Melbourne. He's equally comfortable, you know, quoting Oscar Wilde and Latin. So it's kind of it's a lovely series of prisms through which he views his own life, and that was really, you know, what led to the genesis of Hail.
And I need to tell people that Danny's eyes, your eyes in this film, are the most intense experience, and here you are in the studio staring intently at me. Danny, tell us about the meeting with Emil and I guess where you were at when you were taking that stage just out of jail with the Plan B Theatre Group.
Well, to be perfectly honest, it was purely selfish motives, because I didn't want to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go and pull weeds in the park with 10 or 11 other guys that were 20 years my junior and talk about crime for 8 hours, and I just didn't want to do it. And I thought, I'm going to have to do this for the next 3 months. So
it was a sort of arranged theatre program?
Yes. And
took ex-cons?
Exactly. So I went to the theatre company instead of going to the park and hanging out with those dudes, and I went and was being a little bit creative, and Emil was in there, and he was been documenting it for about six months, and I just couldn't believe that. I looked at this guy who was in his 20s, and he was filming a guy that had been in jail for 26 years, and the guy had been there 2 years longer than Emil had been born, and I actually felt like a big brother to him. I felt protective towards him because I thought he...
To Emil?
Yeah. Because the guy he was actually filming was a pretty dangerous character in his younger days, and was out and at the theatre company, and I thought, do you really know who that guy is or what he's done? And I just sort of felt a little bit protective over him, that's all, man.
Well, I mean, you've become incredible friends as well as collaborators now, haven't you? This is the second film you've made together. Emil, just what compelled you particularly to dramatise aspects of Danny's life? I mean, when the film starts, it reminds me of The Ghost of the Civil Dead, that classic Australian film, but then it takes us somewhere else. It's intensely, brutally emotional.
Yeah, I think the choice to dramatise, I mean, for the most part, the film is, you know, in many ways a distillation of Dan's life. And then I think it was really a decision to, there's an internal state in Dan, or there's an internal state that seemed common in a lot of the stories he was telling me, that it was very necessary to depart from fact and literally throw the story out into space emotionally and have something much more mythical and operatic and kind of panoramic, I suppose. So it's, you know, at its core for me, it's a love story between Danny and Leanne, and but then it was necessary to extract Dan from his world and actually throw it into something that had a narrative arc to propel an audience through the necessary kind of states of being to get to know this character.
Danny, we'll get some of your backstory, because there is a long history. This is just but a window, and a fictional window on your life. But at one point, your character tries to describe to his partner, Leanne. Leanne's actually going to join us on the line shortly. You try and describe the mental torment you're experiencing outside of jail, or at least your character does. What is that mental torment that you're getting at, and which the film really profoundly explores?
Well, you know, you step from a prison and out into society, and you know, something as simple as Tuesday being hot dog day, and you go and you've been eating hot dogs for, you know, however long, every Tuesday, and then, you know, you'll be at a railway station and buy a couple of hot dogs, and, you know, a guy will say, oh, that's, you know, like $12 or $10 or something like that. And and having been in prison, you sort of are removed from society. You just, you know, do this routine. And
your whole self is institutionalized.
Yeah. You could fall into it really easily. It's a real fight not to. And it's a, like, to hop on a train, if somebody's staring at you, if you're in prison and somebody's staring at you, you can ask them what they're staring at. If you do that on a train, you know, like, or you're looking at somebody, like, I get it, you know, you commented on my eyes, you know, these are the ones I was born with, you know, and a lot of people say there's a bit of fire in them, but I don't know, you know, I just think that maybe I might see more than most people, but... Yeah, the transition is hard. So having, you know, spoken to Amiel over a period of time about that subject and about other people who'd been released and how difficult they were finding it.
Yeah.
And how many resources there aren't for people that have come out of prison, and how many people are damaged in their formative years and carry that forever, and people judge them on the moment and don't know anything about their past, and, you know, and a lot of people try and blanket themselves with drugs and alcohol and just, you know, spiral downward.
Well, that was the subject, in a sense, of your first collaboration, which was a short film called Cicada, wasn't it? And that was you recounting an experience that you had as a five-year-old boy running around the pub where your mum worked, and you saw a man killed at quite close quarters, shot. Yeah. How did an experience like that, in a sense, define your childhood?
I booted it out the window, you know. I instantly became grown up, you know. Everybody I meet, I meet them with a eye-to-eye contact, doesn't matter who it is. And I learnt, and from that, I think, and events like that in my life, I meet their gaze, and usually I can pick up what's going on, you know. And
so it's about trust, or probing for that, or probing for,
yeah,
with a sense of doubt, you
know,
or...
Where you come from, where I come from. When the sun goes down, that's when the wanted and the unwanted come out, you know, and you learn to recognise what a predator is. You get to see the damaged people and, you know, the sadness of life. And, it's an education, and I think it was really important that somebody had to portray it, and Amiel and I discussed it at length, and you know, and Amiel said to me, it's a brave move. And I thought, you know, well, I said it before and I'll say it again, you know, just swallow, have a big gulp and do it.
It's a fine line though, isn't it? Because yes, the film is partly derivative of your life and your relationship with Leanne, but there's a real risk people are going to associate you, Danny, sitting here before me with the rage and violence that you express and commit in the film.
Yeah.
Big decision.
Yeah. Yeah, really big decision.
And looking back at the film, how does that, is it a confrontation?
No. No. I'm proud of it. I'm quite proud of it, actually. And I'm proud of Leanne. I'm proud of Amiel. I'm proud of the whole crew. Mm. And very close to everyone on the crew. And I've met a lot of people from making the film, and it opened quite a few doors for me.
Well, it sounds like your acting career is about to take off. Let me bring in Leanne, yep, your partner. Cool. She's joining us on the line. Leanne Letch is Danny's real-life partner, and she also plays his character's partner in Hail. Welcome to Life Matters, Leanne.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good to have
Hi,
you on
guys.
The show.
Hey, Leanne.
Hi, morning, Dar.
It's a strange disconnect going on here. Leanne, tell us about what this being in this film's experience has been like for you, because it really documents a very strong but a very volatile relationship, doesn't it?
It does. At the beginning of Danny's and my relationship, it was more volatile than what the movie showed, but He got to a calm through our relationship. The movie portrays Danny brilliantly. You know, he does have that rage. He has had that rage. And I was listening to what Danny was saying earlier, you know, at the night when the wanted and the needy come out and all of that. You know, Danny was one of them people.
Mm.
You know, so, and I feel that's how I met Danny. We both were sort of a bit like that. So, yeah, the movie was confronting, yeah.
How close is it to the bone for you watching it and I guess portraying some of yourself on film, but in a fictionalised way?
It's a bit confronting, but it was an experience. Yeah, it was a brilliant experience, actually. I mean, we had good people around us, people I trusted. I was doing it with people I trusted. So, yeah, it was an excellent experience.
Leanne, Danny's spoken about that transition from the inside, in prison, to the outside and having to kind of reconnect with the world. How did you view that transition? How have you viewed that transition as Danny's partner?
Oh, brilliantly, brilliantly. He was a bit wild when I met him, that's what I mean. He was very volatile when I met him because he'd come out of prison. And he still had a little bit of time to do after I'd met him and we'd started our relationship. So I was there at a time when he went back to jail and got out. So he sort of left me and went to jail. But I was there the whole time for him whilst he was in jail so he could get out. And he must have thought about life differently when he got out of jail because things had started. We'd started a different lifestyle once he'd been released from prison. Once our relationship had started, yeah. So it was pretty good. It was, yeah. So Danny was has changed immensely, come a long way within the movie world and within himself as a person. Yeah, he's grown
Must
greatly.
Be slightly strange for you, Danny, having us all talk about you while you're here. But, Amy, I'll come to you without giving the game away because we don't want to do that here. Something happens in the film that propels Danny into a fierce state of despair and rage, really visceral expression of rage. What did you want to explore there? It's rage and grief and despair, isn't it, all wrapped into one horror cocktail?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that drew me initially to telling this story is really the love between Danny and Leanne and trying to tell a story, you know, that somehow captures. I mean, just knowing them as intimately as I do, there's something so effervescent and really intoxicating about spending time with those two guys. It's, you know, they're in their sort of very early 50s, but in some ways, it's kind of like hanging out with a couple of teenagers who are like have just fallen in love. It's really, really beautiful, kind of on a daily basis, just to sort of spend time with that kind of energy. So that was the initial attraction to making this into a feature film. And I suppose that shift you're talking about, that shift into loss and grief, is just purely a product of letting an audience feel, establishing a great intimacy with the two lead characters, and then putting them through the motions of having as subjective an experience of that loss as possible. I would hope, feel the preciousness and the transience of that kind of love.
Mm, and look, there's so much we could talk about camera technique and the use of sound. The soundtrack is phenomenal. But you place this film very much in a social justice context, and I'm curious to know more about why.
Yeah, it's a background that I suppose from my documentary making the last sort of 14 or so years. My parents are both painters, and my dad was a social worker, so I grew up with a kind of strong sense of social justice and curiosity, and have always been drawn to. Why I love Danny and Leanne. You know, there's an amazing kind of grace through adversity, and I would hope, similarly to my other work, the film doesn't, in a didactic kind of fashion, deal with the political issues, but it deals with them through, the minutiae of the personal, and through getting to know these two beautiful human beings and the love they have for one another, and how that insulates them in many respects from the world.
Danny, what now? What are you up to now in terms of your acting? And is it going to be the same sort of, is it always going to be this raw, do you think? I wonder if they'll ever put you in a soap. Leanne, hello?
Oh, Danny wants to swashbuckle.
I'm thinking about, I think Danny would make a great pirate.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Is that on the cards?
Yeah, well, it could be. I just did a film in the States, and had to go over a couple of times.
Playing what? Or
a
who?
Damaged post-traumatic stress Vietnam veteran. Yeah, and with broken family, all that sort of stuff.
It's going to become your stock in trade, I think. How do you reflect on the prison history now?
Just, take a giant step, leave your yesterdays behind and take a giant step outside your mind, like that Ravi Shankar song. Yeah, so that's what I do. That's just part of me. Part of my history.
I wonder if acting allows you to kind of realise a whole range of different aspects of yourself as well.
Now. Yeah, it does. It does. It, I first realised that in Plan B, actually. The actual space where we put on the play was a place where I was knocked down a few times when I was younger and, in the old Russell Street in Melbourne, and I'd been there in a few different states of disarray and licking my wounds, etc. And it was the old remand centre, first one that I knew of anyway. And it had been, next to the old Melbourne jail. And so everybody from Ned Kelly through and till they closed it.
And here you were turning it into a stage.
Yeah.
Surreal.
And to step in there and memories come flooding back and like lots of the guys, as soon as they step through the door, sort of had this anxiety fits and, sort of all this stuff. But it was okay. It was, cathartic for me.
Oh, gee, I'd like to just talk for the whole show with you guys. Leanne, thanks very much for joining us on the line there. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
Leanne Lech is lead actress and partner of Danny Jones, lead actor in the film Hail, and Amiel Corton-Wilson, filmmaker, director, writer, producer, the whole shebang of the Australian film Hail. Thanks for joining us in the studio this morning.
Okay, no worries.
Appreciate it very much. And Hail is the name of the film. We'll put all the details up on the Life Matters website. Do check it out. It's a rough ride, but well worth it, I found.